Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are thankful that the Lord calls us to worship him and that we may come into his presence this morning with reverence and awe to praise and glorify his name. We also extend a warm welcome to all members, visitors and guests who have joined us today in worship, either via live stream. May we all be strengthened and edified by the proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as by the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which we may celebrate today. Consistory has the following announcements. Consistory, as elders only, will meet, the Lord willing, on Monday evening at 8 p.m. in the Consistory Room. And this morning we may welcome Reverend Huizinga, Emeritus Minister of our sister church at Armidale, to the pulpit. This afternoon Brother Spiker will lead the worship service. Before we commence this service, let us sing Psalm 16, verse 4.
Please rise to receive God's greeting. We confess our help is in the name of the Lord, the Creator of heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. In response to God's greeting, let us sing together from Psalm 146, stanza 1. Let us now submit ourselves to the words of God's covenant, and afterwards let us sing from Psalm 80, the stanzas 1 and 3. Psalm 80, stanzas 1 and 3. O Israel, shepherd, hear our pleading. Stanzas 1 and 3 of Psalm 80, after God's law. God spoke, and in Christ speaks all these words to us, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Let us unite in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing. Heavenly God, we humble ourselves before you. You are the Almighty Creator. We are creatures. You are Holy God. We are descendants of Adam and Eve, the rebels. We thank you that you have gathered us together. And as a hen gathers her chicks around her, so you have gathered us around yourself, that we may hear your word and be encouraged by remembering Jesus Christ, our Lord. You came down on Mount Sinai to proclaim the teachings of your covenant Your holy presence frightened your people. The mount quaked with your fiery, thunderous presence. Awesome sights. And your covenant filled with blessings and curses, teachings, warnings, instructed them. Those words were to last. With your own finger, you wrote them in stone. Lord, we claim that promise that you gave to your Old Testament people that there would be a new covenant, and you would write those words on the tablets of our hearts. Inscribe them so that we may keep them and cherish them. For your word is trustworthy, shows us the way, and gives us delight. It gives us deep knowledge of our sins, but also of your grace and mercy. So use your word in our midst, in this new week, in our personal lives, also in our family lives when the Bible is opened. Bless the parents in reading, explaining, discussing your word. We also think of the schools that open again and the school teachers that will use the word, retell those stories, grant them all that they need. We pray be also with the office bearers as they study and use your word in fulfilling their offices. The minister in studying your word, preparing sermons, the elders in making visits, the deacons in administering and promoting your mercy. Lord, bless also the communal study of your word and the Bible study clubs, and bless the instruction for the youth and the catechism classes. And so we pray that you will use your word, and that the Spirit may also use the sacrament and to strengthen and refresh us in our faith in Jesus Christ. Open your word to us and open our hearts to it. All this so that in the end, your name may receive the honor and glory by having a people who are fruitful in your service. Amen. This morning we will open Scripture and we will read together from the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We'll read the verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And verse 5 is the focus of our short sermon. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We'll read to the end of verse 8. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Thus far. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what makes a fruit grower smile? A bounty crop at good prices. What makes the owner of a vineyard happy? An abundant vintage. And what makes the vine dresser in heaven rejoice? An overflowing harvest. And this is what Jesus, the true vine, speaks about with his close disciples. And I preach to you a short message from God's word under this theme: I am the true vine, you are the branches. And Jesus has 3 points. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Secondly, abide in me. And thirdly, so bear much fruit. Jesus says, I am the true vine, you are the branches. And he teaches, apart from me, you can do nothing. To appreciate the Lord's words, let's put the text into proper historical context. Jesus is celebrating the last Passover. And during the celebration, he has many instructions. You know how they retold the story of the Exodus? Well, Jesus also told many more things. Just think of chapters 13, 14, 15, 16 of John. And so there is much he had to say. And one thing is, he had to say farewell. Jesus will leave the upper room and go to Gethsemane and pray his high priestly prayer. Then he will be arrested, tried, and crucified. Jesus will leave them and go to his Father in heaven. And in these farewell chapters, Jesus promises that though that can really discourage them, there is hope. The Spirit will come. They will receive all that they need. But this farewell means they're going to be on their own. And without Jesus to direct them and help them, well, they would feel lost. Would you and I not feel that way? How can you fulfill a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Who's going to listen to you? How can you do all that? Unlettered, uneducated fishermen doing that job? Well, Jesus in our text encourages the future apostles and preachers. Jesus also encourages all of us. He's the true vine. His Father is the vine dresser. We are the branches, the vine branches. We are his vineyard, and he will cause us to bear much fruit. Sure, there's going to be pruning. Every vineyard needs pruning. If it's not pruned, there will be wild growth and very little fruit. Now, Jesus makes an astounding claim. I am the true vine. I am is the title for God itself. He is God. I am the true vine. We sang that Israel was taken from Egypt and planted in Canaan. And the vine spread, Psalm 80. Well, we know from vineyards in the Swan Valley, Margaret River area, and that you get the vine in the ground, it grows up until it reaches those horizontal wires, and it spreads on those wires, and then you get branches hanging down with the grapes hanging from them. Shiraz, Cabernet, Chardonnay, Merlot, and others. And the vine itself has a long taproot that will take the moisture and minerals from the soil, and it will cause healthy fruit to appear. So when Jesus says, I am the true vine, then he says, I control the harvest. I will be the one who will make sure that there is a harvest. I will make you productive. And he underlines this by saying, indeed, without me, you can do nothing. And boys and girls, you may remember that when the fishermen went out to fish during the night, in the morning Jesus asked, have you caught anything? And the answer came back, nothing. And also when Jesus rose from the dead, and they had gone out fishing, and he asked them the same question, and the answer came back, nothing. Not a thing. Jesus can direct that too. But when he says the word, the nets will be filled to bursting. And so they've had this answer before. And now Jesus uses the imagery of the vineyard, the vine and the branches, to underline that message. And those apostles, they needed this. By themselves, they can achieve nothing. It's a monumental task. They would feel useless, unqualified. I mean, fishing for real fish, that's one job. And they would feel qualified for that. But fishers of men? That is much more intensive work. And how can you regulate that? How can you regulate that people will listen to you and believe you? People who don't know anything about God, the true God, and about the Bible. Maybe there will be some Jews living in different areas. But there's many who don't know God. So Jesus uses this I am saying that he is God himself. He's sovereign and he will direct things. He uses it to instill hope into them and into us. He's the true vine. He will make us resourceful and fruitful. And how does that apply to us? Well, the apostles, they had to go out with the gospel after Jesus rose and ascended into heaven. And today, Jesus uses his church. He uses the special office bearers, but he also uses the office of all believers. Not just ministers and missionaries, therefore, but all of us have a task here. We're all prophets, priests, and kings. And through us, the Lord wants a harvest. And how does Jesus want this? Well, he wants members to support the ministry of the word at home. And he wants members who will support the mission field, whether it's at home or abroad. Jesus wants members who are readable letters of Christ, so that your neighbors, even though they never open a Bible, they may see the Bible and hear the Bible in living form when they come in contact with you. Jesus wants members who are true prophets, who are always ready to give an account of the hope that is within them, and to do so with respect and gentleness. Jesus wants believers who allow the Spirit to work mightily in them, and he wants every one of these believers to have this bountiful crop of love, joy, peace, gentleness, all the fruit of the Spirit. And he wants believers who use not only what everybody has in common as believers, but he also wants believers who have specific and special talents to use them for God's kingdom. Our Lord wants elders and deacons to shepherd and care for the flock so that they can be productive. The Lord wants ministers and missionaries to proclaim the gospel. This is what he's looking for. So it's not just a task for one or two people. It's a task for all of us. And it's something that involves all of us. That's also the type of fruit that Jesus and his Father, the vine dresser, look forward to. But remember that without Jesus, you're nothing. You try to do it on your own, nothing. But if you work prayerfully, dependent on the Lord, you'll be like a vine branch connected, abiding in the true vine. He will make you fruitful. But for that, you need to abide in Him. That's His second point. So in their travels, when they are going out in all different directions, the apostles had to remember Jesus, His words, His instructions, His commandments. And in this chapter 15, if my words stay within you, you will abide in me. So you see that Jesus makes it very clear that His instructions, think of the Sermon on the Mount, all His instructions, all His teachings, that they abide in us and that we live out of love for the Lord and love for one another. Then the Lord abides in us. That's what He wants. So there's a message for you as well. Remain true to your vows of love and loyalty to Jesus. Pray for the Spirit to keep you strong and courageous in faith. Persevere also when there are troubles and hardship. Your enemies are strong. Think of Satan who targets you. Think of your own sinful nature that will plague you. But stay united to Jesus. Claim all that He promised in your baptism. And then you will abide in Him. And He will make you fruitful. But since we are inclined by nature to think, I can do it by myself and by my own power and ingenuity, and I can just do it in my own way as well, Jesus strongly warns us, if you try that, you could do nothing. Nothing for His kingdom. And if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burnt. And if that doesn't apply in this age, it will apply when Jesus comes with the holy angels to judge the living and the dead. And so all those prunings, all those dead branches piled high and burnt. That's a picture of what will happen. Peter felt like that. He denied the Lord. He didn't want the Lord to die. And Peter learned a very painful lesson. He learned to stay strong in Jesus and not count on his own bravery. So by nature we will deny Jesus. To confess Him takes courage. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to indwell us, that we will abide in Jesus. So then be strengthened by this celebration of the Lord's Supper, so that you stay united to Him, the true vine. And then He promises, and that's our third point, He promises you that you will bear much fruit. We have already shown that this passage applies to us all. We showed what type of fruit Jesus and His Father look for. Obviously, the vine dresser looks for a great harvest. And all the work of pruning, watering, fertilizing, spraying, well, it makes sense if there is a good vintage. At the close of our summer, vineyard owners rejoice in the harvest taken to the winery. But let's take a look at the harvest that have been reaped. Jesus said, you will bear much fruit. Well, then, you know, flip a few pages from John 15 to the book of Acts. And just recall, on Pentecost, the apostles with all the group of 120 followers preached the gospel about the mighty works of God done in Jesus Christ. Thousands repented and believed. And this astounding harvest grew and grew and grew. Jesus was right. Abide in Him and you will bear much fruit. 40, 60, 100-fold. Yes, that's what He says in one passage. And here we see it became 1,000-fold. And this fruit comes from the Lord and His gospel of salvation. It's the God, the Spirit, that also works through the preaching of the gospel and the sharing of the gospel. The Lord bears fruit, repentance, faith, daily conversion, new life, the Spirit's fruit, and the various gifts of service, and the wonderful communion of saints. That is what resulted. And that's what Jesus and the Father wanted. And so you see, it is true. The Bible shows that it's true. And through history, it's coming true in every generation. May the remembrance of the Passover lamb build you in faith and love so that you increase in fruitfulness to the Lord. For if I may use the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1, the Holy Spirit works in us. He not only assures us of eternal life, but He makes us willing and ready from now on to live and work for Jesus, the true vine. Amen. Let's now read together the form for the Lord's Supper, the short form. Beginning on page 608 in your books of praise. Brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul describes the institution of the Holy Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. If we are to celebrate the Holy Supper for the strengthening of our faith, we must first examine ourselves. Let everyone consider his sins and accursedness, that he may humble himself before God. Let everyone examine his heart whether he believes the sure promise of God that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is freely given him as his own. Finally, let everyone determine whether he intends gratefully to serve the Lord with his entire life and to live in true love and harmony with his neighbor. All who by the grace of God repent of their sins, desire to fight against their unbelief and live according to God's commandments will certainly be received by God at the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. They may be fully assured that no sin or weakness which still remains in them against their will shall keep God from accepting them in grace and granting them this heavenly food and drink. But to all who do not truly grieve over their sins and do not repent of them, we declare that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ. We admonish them to abstain from the Holy Supper, otherwise their judgment will be the heavier. Christ has commanded us to use this supper in remembrance of him. At this table we remember that our Lord was sent by the Father into the world, assumed our flesh and blood, and from the beginning to the end of his life bore for us the wrath of God. He was bound that we might be set free. Though innocent, he was condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. He let his blessed body be nailed to the cross, and so took our curse upon himself to fill us with his blessing. He was forsaken by God, that we might nevermore be forsaken by him. By his death and the shedding of his blood, he confirmed the new and everlasting covenant of grace when he said, "It is finished." Therefore, as often as we eat this bread and drink of this cup, we are reminded and assured of Christ's hearty love towards us. He died on the cross and shed his blood for us, that he might feed our hungry and thirsty souls unto eternal life with his crucified body and shed blood, as truly as we receive this bread and drink in remembrance of him. By his suffering and death, Christ has obtained for us the Spirit of life. By this Spirit, we are united with him and receive all his gifts. The same Spirit unites us in brotherly love as members of one body. Therefore, we all, incorporated into Christ by true faith, are one body, and shall show this to one another, not just in words, but also in deeds. Finally, Christ has commanded us to celebrate the Holy Supper until he comes. We receive at his table a foretaste of the abundant joy which he has promised, and look forward to the marriage feast of the Lamb, when he will drink the wine new with us in the kingdom of his Father. Let us rejoice and give him the glory, for the marriage feast of the Lamb is coming. Let us pray together. Gracious God and Father, we thank you that you have given us your only Son as a sacrifice for our sins and as our food and drink unto eternal life. We pray, work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit through this supper, so that in trusting ourselves more and more to your Son, Jesus Christ, we may not live in our sins, but he in us and we in him. Strengthen our faith that you will forever be our gracious Father, who gives us all things necessary for body and soul. Grant us your grace that we may joyfully take up our cross, deny ourselves, and confess our Savior. Teach us to expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, who will change our mortal body to be like his glorious body, and take us to himself in eternity. Amen. We have no guests or visitors who will be with us. If there are any other visitors, we ask that you refrain from coming forward, as you're not under the supervision of the consistory of this congregation. May you nonetheless be encouraged and edified as you worship with us. In order to be nourished with Christ, the true heavenly bread, let us not cling to the outward symbols of bread and wine, but lift up our hearts to Jesus Christ, our advocate at the Father's right hand. Let us firmly believe that we will be nourished with his body and blood, as certainly as we receive this bread and drink in remembrance of him. All communicant members in good standing are invited to come to the Lord's table. The deacons will prepare the table for us. It takes a little while, so I'm going to put an extra song on. Hymn 59, stanzas 1 and 2, while the deacons prepare the table.
Thank you.
The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We'll continue our reading at John 15 at verse 9. John 15 at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Let us now sing together from Psalm 1. We'll sing the second stanza, a psalm that also speaks about being fruitful in the Lord's service. Psalm 1, stanza 2.
Amen. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of blessing for which we give thanks is the communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink from it, all of you. Remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We'll continue our reading at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Since it's the last table, I'll read the last verses of this chapter, 26 and 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Let us, in conclusion, sing together Psalm 133 that speaks about our love for one another.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, now that the Lord has nourished us at his table, let us together praise his name with thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Therefore my heart and my mouth shall proclaim the praise of the Lord from now on and forevermore. Amen. Let us give God thanks in prayer. Merciful God and Father, we thank you for the opportunity and to partake of the supper of your Son, Jesus Christ, by eating of the bread and drinking of the cup, and so proclaiming the death of our Lord as the only ground of our salvation. We praise you that you give us the privilege to rejoice in the communion of your Son, as well as in the fellowship with one another. We also earnestly ask you that we, being strengthened in faith by the celebration of this sacrament, may bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Cause us to show in our whole life our heartfelt love towards you and towards each other. Grant that with ardent expectation we may await the return of our Savior, who promised that he would drink with us of the fruit of the vine in the kingdom of his Father. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your instructions. Thank you also for giving us a message of hope that if we abide in you, then you will make us fruitful. You are the true vine. You are the one that causes the vine branch to be fruitful. And Lord, we confess that in ourselves there is nothing good, and we would not be good candidates for your service. But thank you that you make us fruitful, and that you use each and every one of us for that. Thank you for your message. Thank you for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that we may remember him till he comes in glory. To you, Father, be all glory, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. At this point, you normally would have had the opportunity to give your thank offerings. This morning, it's for the Ministry of Mercy. Have a cuppa. You'll be able to do that at the door. You can give your offering there, or you can do it online. Let us now sing our final song, Hymn 61, stanzas 1 and 2.
Thank you.
Lift up your hearts to the Lord, receive his blessing, and go in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen.